Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 21st day of April 2021. And I am thrilled to have on the program for the very first time ever on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, South Carolina State Representative Jonathan Hill. And today we are going to be addressing the Abolish Abortion Rally at the South Carolina State House, which is being held next week. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Jonathan Hill.
Thank you, Chris, for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you on. And let me give our listeners our email address right away in the event that they would like to join us with questions of their own. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. C-H-R-I-S-A-R-N-Z-E-N @gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you have had an abortion, or your daughter has had an abortion, or some close family member or friend has had an abortion. Whatever the case may be that would compel you to remain anonymous, we would understand over personal and private matters. But if it's just a general question about this horrible sin that continues to stain the United States of America and actually the world, infanticide, if it's just a general question about that or a political question, please give us at least your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Jonathan, how long have you been a South Carolina state representative?
Yeah, well, I've been involved in politics since 2008 as an activist, and in 2014 I ran for state house here and won. So this is my seventh year in office now.
And tell us exactly what the duties and responsibilities of being a state representative are. A general description of your day-to-day activities and the most important functions that are part of your role there.
Right, right. Well, the South Carolina House of Representatives, as it is the case with most states, is one half of the legislature. And the legislature's role is to make the laws of South Carolina. And along with that, there are duties involving, fielding a random array of constituent requests and needs. Sometimes we have people come to us with various things, not knowing where to turn, and so it's our job to help them sometimes navigate, the process of dealing with a state agency and so forth. So there's a bunch of random stuff like that. But my number one job as a state legislator is to read the bills that come up, to file just legislation, to cast votes according to justice and righteousness, and I strive to do that to the best of my ability.
Well, since you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, a Bible-believing Christian, we have a tradition here on this program when we have a first-time guest that they give a summary of their salvation testimony, including the kind of religious atmosphere, if any, that you were raised in, and what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and ultimately saved you.
Yeah, that's a great question, Chris. I appreciate your giving me the opportunity to talk about this. I came to know the Lord at the tender age of 5.
Wow.
Pretty much so long ago that I don't have any vivid memories of that left. But, you know, it was very real, very distinct, and I was baptized by my late father, who was the Southern Baptist minister, and was the oldest of 6 kids, and we were all home educated, and we were, you know, my dad was a pastor for about 15 years, and so I certainly grew up in that environment and saw firsthand what he went through. And I can say that, you know, as you know, life has at times been difficult, and we've, you know, we all have our challenges and everything. I can say that, you know, as I look back over the years that I've lived, I've never once doubted who I belong to. I'm not really joking when I say, when God says, whom I love, I rebuke and chasten, he meant it.
Yeah, and, I know the feeling.
And I've had plenty of rebuking and chastening by the Lord. So, you know, I there's no doubt in my mind. And it's something that has, as I've gotten more and more involved in politics, that it's become more and more front and center, as the driving force of what I'm doing. I mean, when I first got involved in politics, which, by the way, you know, I credit my parents with, it wasn't something that I wanted to do. It wasn't something that I was naturally drawn towards, but they raised all of us kids with the sort of mentality that of personal responsibility. If there's something that bothers you in your soul about what's going on in the world, then that's your first cue to actually consider whether you should be doing something about it. You don't get to complain; you get to go figure out what you're going to do about it. So that was the mentality that we were raised with, And so when I began to realize just how few people are involved in politics and the opportunities that are there for Christians to be an influence and to glorify God in that arena, I just got to a point where I knew too much not to be trying to do something about it. And so I got involved in the heyday of the Tea Party movement around 2008, 2009 is when I got my start as a grassroots activist. And it, you know, I had to shift. The battle cry then was, you know, we're gonna change it back. You know, we're gonna save America. And of course, that was those were the first few years of the Obama administration, the Obamacare fight, and all of that. And you know, I had to come to grips with the fact that a Christian's role in politics isn't to change it back. A Christian's role in politics is nothing short of the first and second great commandments, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and to glorify Him. I believe God is glorified when our laws are just. And second, to love our neighbor. And, you know, when our neighbor is being harmed by what our elected officials are doing to us, then it is our duty as Christians, I believe, to get involved and to try to do something about that for their sake. So that's been the twofold mandate, and I can't make any promise or assume that I can, you know, say for instance, get a bill passed. But I certainly can by my efforts glorify God. That is something that come what may, I can do if I am faithful to doing what God would have us to do. So that's kind of been my driving force, especially over the last 7 years as I've served in the State House of Representatives.
Well, it is always a joy to hear of someone that is truly a legitimate, regenerate, born-again, Bible-believing Christian in political office. Obviously, there are many, if not multitudes, who are no doubt giving a false profession, even some that are very conservative in many areas of their platforms and so on, but then eventually they wind up saying and doing things that reveal that they really don't know the scriptures, and it is doubtful that they know God. But it is such a refreshing blessing to hear about someone like you and your reputation of being a state representative. And in
fact, you know, Chris, Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits. I mean,
amen.
There are a lot of people in politics out there, a lot of politicians especially, that will say, well, you know, that they're a Christian, or even that God told them to run for office. But, you know, Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits. You'll know by what they do, by what they say, and, you know, whether they have any conflict of conscience about what they do and say, you'll know by that whether they're the real deal or not.
Amen. And I have the privilege of knowing, and having had the privilege to interview, a former Pennsylvania State Representative, Stephen Bloom, who is certainly and unquestionably a very strong and truly regenerate Bible-believing brother in Christ. And I'm saddened that he is no longer a state representative, but I'm sure that the Lord has a lot of amazing things in store for his future due to his own gifts and zeal and passion for the Word of God and for truth.
Yeah, that sounds like somebody I'd love to meet sometime.
Yeah. Well, we have a listener, Ian, in Swansea, South Carolina. Hi, Mr. Arnzen. Thank you, as always, for your ministry. Could Representative Hill please address the issue of fake pro-lifeism in both conservative politics and in the mainstream pro-life movement? Yes, I've been hearing more and more from those that are zealously and diligently involved in grassroots ministries to save the lives of unborn children, that not everyone who wears a title of a pro-life Christian or conservative or says that they are passionately involved in the pro-life movement is actually laboring in a methodology, or with a methodology that is actually going to bring about the abolishing of infanticide. I'm not saying that this is a conscious thing with many of them, but perhaps most of them it is an unconscious thing. But if you could tell us about your understanding of this, as Ian called it, fake pro-lifeism.
Right, yeah, well, it's a great question, and you know, we have the lay of the land here in South Carolina is that, you know, the main pro-life lobby group would be South Carolinians for Life, and, you know, and that's the group that has the reputation around the state, especially among the, you know, Republican politicians in the House and Senate, that they're the ones that that are, I guess, kind of the standard bearers of you know, protecting life. Now, the problem there is, you know, in spite of the fact that, you know, they publish annually to the public and especially to their donors, a you know, 15 or 20 year chart showing, you know, how the, rate of abortions have changed in South Carolina over the years. And they'll overlay that on with certain bills that they've advocated for. And each one of those bills are bills that, you know, really didn't do a whole lot to move the needle. And the problem is, you know, historically we've just been content with messing around the margins of the issue. The very first pro-life related bill fight that I experienced coming into the state house was, I believe it was in 2015, and the issue was the bill to say that you can't have an abortion after 20 weeks. And right off the bat, I pretty much knew, that this wasn't a good faith effort to end abortion in South Carolina. First and foremost, because it's not wrong to kill babies because it might hurt. It's wrong to kill babies because they're human. And so to say that we're only going to ban abortions after 20 weeks, you're on the wrong ideological footing altogether, just right off the bat. Second, I began to realize that, you know, as we started asking questions and collecting data, that there were no abortions happening in South Carolina after 20 weeks. And so the bill was passed as a symbolic measure, that did not save one life in South Carolina, did not change anything. But what it did do is it gave a bunch of Republican legislators and other politicians the ability to go out and say, look, we passed this bill, we're pro-life, here's my voting record, and you know, the people of South Carolina are, you know, not supposed to notice the fact that nothing actually changed. So, and that's been a recurring theme over the past 7 years, and it kind of culminated in this last year, or in this year, rather, with the passage of the so-called heartbeat bill. And the heartbeat bill is interesting because, you know, when you talk about it, and especially when you read the media coverage of these bills as they've been introduced and passed in various states around the country, the talking point is they ban practically all abortions. And most people think that the heartbeat bill bans abortion at the point of a heartbeat. If there's a beating heart, it shouldn't be killed because that's a person and it's alive, clearly alive. And once again, you know, it's ideologically problematic. We know better than that. We know that it's a person, whether even before the heartbeat begins, it's a person from the point of conception onward, and we should protect those lives too. But it would be a true statement to say that if we're going to ban abortions once the heartbeat starts, that it would ban practically all abortions. We're talking about 5 weeks. Sometimes the mother may not even know that she's pregnant at that point. And so it's very early. However, the problem here is, once again, that is not what the heartbeat bill does. If you the bill that was passed and signed by the governor here in South Carolina, if you read it carefully, what it actually does is it bans abortion when a heartbeat is detected. Key fundamental difference there. We're not banning abortion when a heartbeat begins. We're banning it when it's detected. And so what do you think, Chris, that a Planned Parenthood abortion tech is going to do? Their livelihood depends on enabling and allowing that abortion to go forward. They're paid. Their paycheck is paid from funds that come from abortion. And, you know, if they place that ultrasound on that mother's body and in such a way to record accurately the image of the ultrasound and the heartbeat, the presence of the heartbeat, then their employer is not going to be able to pay them, and they're not going to pay them. So, you know, it's not like Planned Parenthood is a trustworthy actor. They're a known bad actor. We know they're going to cheat, and there's nothing in the bill that's going to stop them. You know, nobody's going to be there looking over their shoulder, nobody from the government. And so they're going to cheat. We know they're going to cheat. And then on top of that, I mean, we could say that we're taking a stand for life by passing such a bill. We could say that. But the problem is what the Senate and the House ultimately did was they carved out exceptions for rape and incest. So not only are we on the wrong ideological footing by not actually protecting babies with beating hearts, but now we've carved out exceptions into the bill that say we don't even deem all babies with beating hearts to be worthy of equal protection. And Chris, I don't know about you, but I can't escape the fact that that just places us right alongside, many people throughout history that have advocated for eugenics and horrible, egregious, and often racially motivated human rights violations. And that is the total exact opposite of the position, of the pro-life position. So if we're truly pro-life, if we're truly about protecting the unborn, it has to begin from the position that we believe that a person is a person, and that's true from conception, and that a person, an innocent human being, no matter their age, no matter whether they have a beating heart, no matter the circumstances of their conception, no matter what, that they are worthy of a chance to live. And it's wrong for us to take that human life. And it's high time we start calling it what it is, which is murder.
Amen. And it would be totally hypocritical and illogical if those who believe in abortion, or should I say, the murder of an unborn child, due to rape and incest, if they are going to be logically consistent in believing that that is indeed human life, that it is indeed a child, then they would have to believe that it would be acceptable for a young mother who gives birth to a baby after being raped or being the victim of incest to throw that baby in a dumpster, or to have a child that's even more developed and older murdered. Because it is still a human being in both scenarios. Even so-called pro-life people often distinguish and contrast life before birth and life after birth, and this is really illegitimate, isn't it?
That's right. And, you know, I during the heartbeat debate, when these rape and incest exceptions were being discussed and quite honestly promoted, and that was the thing that was so flabbergasting to me, is that the South Carolina Republican Party, the SCGOP, and SC Citizens for Life both were openly and vocally advocating that the House pass the bill as is with no further amendments. In other words, they were actively pushing these rape and incest exceptions. They were evidently perfectly okay with it. And, you know, I can't for the life of me see how you would call yourself a person who's pro-life while saying at the same time that some life doesn't deserve protection. And I raised the question, and not one person even attempted to answer from the pro-life establishment.
Wow.
And the question I raised was this. If the exception had been carved out to say, instead, that it is illegal to have an abortion done when a heartbeat is detected, unless the baby has Down syndrome, and then you can do it, would you be still promoting this bill? Would you still be telling me to vote for this bill without trying to change it, without trying to amend it? Not one person from the pro-life establishment, from SCCL or the SCGOP or any other group, would answer that question.
Wow.
And and I thought that was a theoretical question, but now I'm starting to see that actually there are some states that are actually proposing bans on abortion once they find out that, you know, the baby has Down syndrome. So, you know, I think that, you know, whether a baby actually has Down syndrome or any other situation is quite honestly irrelevant. The only relevant detail is that they're alive and that they're human.
Amen. We have to go to our first station break right now, and if you would like to also join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address again is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Hi, I'm Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is Supreme Over All. My friend Chris Arnzen and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vody Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Patafuco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody's ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
And we want to thank Banu Gotti, who is such a vital sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We want to thank him from the depths of our hearts here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for renewing his annual contract just very recently. And I just cannot come up with the words to adequately thank him and tell him how grateful I am to him.
and to great how grateful to God I am for him. Thank you, Dr. Gotti, and I hope that everyone listening, at the very least, responds to his ads by telling him that they thank him for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, truly one of our largest and most significant sponsors. We are now back with our guest today, Jonathan Hill. He is South Carolina State Representative, and we are addressing the Abolish Abortion Rally at the South Carolina State House. And tell us exactly all the details our listeners need to know about this rally.
Yeah, so first of all, if you're interested in coming, go to abolishabortionsc.com. Abolishabortionsc.com. All the details are on there, and links to RSVP on Facebook. And there's an alternate link if you're not on Facebook. We're going to be meeting up at the South Carolina Capitol at the State House at the public entrance on May 4th at 10 a.m. And you know, that's a strategic date. We've chosen that date because that's the date that we believe that the House will be, once again, the State House will once again be taking up the state budget. And it's a budget that was initially passed by the House with abortion funding included in it. So we're funding abortions, and we are funding abortion providers such as Planned Parenthood in that budget. And so that'll be the House's chance to make that vote right. I'll be proposing an amendment to remove the abortion funding. It's an amendment that the governor has repeatedly called on the House and the Senate to pass, and they have not done so. So we're hoping that, you know, we'll have lots of people to show up for a rally on May 4th that can then go into the State House and speak with their legislators, speak with their House members, my colleagues, that to let them know that passing a budget that funds abortion and funds abortion providers is unacceptable. And while they're there, we'd like them to also have a conversation with their rep about co-sponsoring House Bill 4046, which is a bill to, for the first time, actually completely abolish legal abortion and to establish equal justice for the unborn.
And we will repeat that information later on in the program, and we hope that you get have a wonderful turnout. We have a listener, and he's already going to start some trouble here. he is a faithful listener and generous financial supporter of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina. And Grady asks something that probably no politician really wants to hear. But he says, "Greetings, brothers. It's my understanding that some pro-life groups have signed agreements with some of the Roman Catholic pro-lifers not to share the gospel. I personally believe this is necessary because a change of heart, redemption through Christ, is the only way to change a person's heart. However, saying that, we, the church, must also be willing to aid those that decide on motherhood and fatherhood as Christians, willing to fulfill the Great Commission and to encourage and provide even materially as they grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you agree with this?" And now that's kind of a tricky question. Do you agree with this? Well, you mentioned a lot of things, Grady. So obviously this is a First Amendment issue of the Constitution, of the fact that we have freedom of speech still in this country, is at least now we do.
Right.
But if you could respond.
Yeah, yeah. There's a few things going on with this question, and I'm happy to address it as best I can. So, and I want to thank Grady for that question, because you know, I mentioned earlier that, you know, there's been a lot of games being played, and the lives of the unborn hanging in the balance have been used for much too long, far too long in South Carolina, as sort of a political pawn or a political bargaining chip or something like that, to help, you know, Republican politicians go back into office who actually have no interest in protecting the lives of the unborn or changing the status quo on abortion. Now, you know, I mentioned that whole, you know, political fight, legislative fight over the heartbeat bill and the rape and incest exceptions. And I remember distinctly, you know, I was getting in my car, driving to the Capitol, that very morning when we were going to vote for the bill, and my soul was just heavy with the, knowing the blatant hypocrisy that was being perpetrated by, my party caucus and so many of my colleagues. And it just dawned on me that morning, Chris, that, you know, they think they're doing nothing wrong. There's a few of them that know that what they're doing is wrong and they don't care. But for the most part, many of them really just do not realize that they're doing nothing wrong or that they're doing something wrong. And it furthermore occurred to me that what is the very first prerequisite for the gospel to have any meaning whatsoever? The very first prerequisite is that we have to acknowledge that we've done wrong. David wrote in the Psalms, he's not rewarded us according to our iniquities. He's not, you know, mercy only makes sense in the context of a just law, which we have violated. And I think that, you know, all of this starts with this. We have to point out the hypocrisy. We have to point out the error. That, of course, means that we have to confront it in our own hearts and minds and souls first. And I can, you know, this is this whole situation, you know, going through this year has really forced me to do a lot of soul searching myself and to identify wrong thinking, wrong decisions that I've made in the past, and to, you know, make the choice to really go to the heart of the issue here. That abortion is wrong, not because it hurts women. It does, but not because it hurts women. Abortion is wrong because it is wrong to take the innocent life of another person. And there are huge theological ramifications that abortion has that I don't really hear any pastors or Christians really even talking much about that really should be part of the conversation for Christians, and it should be part of our motivation for addressing this issue. So, you know, as far as, like, you know, the aspect of ecumenicalism and you know, Roman Catholics kind of leading the way on this, and, you know, what role has that played in the failures of the pro-life movement to provide equal justice or advocate for equal justice for the unborn? That's not a topic that I'm necessarily well informed and educated enough to really address directly. I can tell you that, I have for many years been ashamed that, many, Protestant churchgoers, you know, may give lip service to, protecting life and life beginning at conception and so forth. While the people actually in the trenches that are trying to actually save babies and convince mothers not to kill their unborn children and, you know, engaging in the political sphere have been predominantly Roman Catholics. And I think that that's to our shame. And I think that, anyone listening to me here, who is a Protestant Christian, I beg you to, you know, consider whether you're fulfilling the mandate of Micah 6:8. It's not the lip service, it's not the trappings of our worship that God wants. He wants us to do justice, to order our laws by His righteousness, to love mercy, which, you know, means putting the gospel front and center in everything that we do, and to walk humbly with God and realize that this isn't all on our shoulders, and that, you know, as Jesus said, let him who is without sin be the first to cast a stone. And so, you know, that needs to be the framework that we engage in this and any other issue. And those are the guiding principles that I'm seeking to follow here.
Yeah, and the way I would also respond to that is a lot of this depends on how the Roman Catholics who are involved in a particular pro-life demonstration are making certain aberrant beliefs of theirs vocal or prominent in the demonstration, and likewise how the Protestants are evangelizing them. I think that if you have a certain mission to accomplish a certain goal, you don't need to be confronting the Roman Catholics involved, or anyone else involved for that matter, whether they be Orthodox Jews, they might even be atheists who are pro-life, and I'm using that term in the sense of being committed to rescue the lives of human beings, in this case, unborn children, or even children born right after or during an abortion, who are being allowed to die in storage closets and so on. But obviously, I think it would be inappropriate for evangelicals to be holding up signs during a specific gathering intended to be an anti-abortion or abolish abortion event, holding up signs that say, stop praying the rosary, or stop praying to Mary and saints, stop your idol.
That would distract from the main issue, your reason for being there.
Right. But to develop relationships and friendships.
Send a message as well.
Yeah, but to develop friendships and relationships with the Catholics that you're having this co-belligerent activity with, and share the gospel with them during those times of interaction when you're involved in private socializing and so on, that would be different. I know that a very dear friend of mine, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, many years ago, I think it was back in the 80s, he was very actively involved in a certain pro-life organization, and he voluntarily disassociated himself with it because they actually told him that he could never be a member in good standing of this group if he were to evangelize the Roman Catholics involved. Yeah. And obviously that would be not only a violation of freedom of speech, but it'd be even more importantly, fearing men more than God.
Right.
And also inflating what is a very serious crime and sinister act, the murder of unborn babies, but it would be inflating it above and beyond the eternal matters involving the gospel, which is not appropriate either.
Right, and I think the arguments for the humanity of the unborn, and you know, as Justice Blackmun wrote in the Roe v. Wade decision, he says, if the fetus is a person, may the penalties for killing it be different than those for killing a person who is born. And I think that all of those arguments are equally compelling, I would think, to any person who has a brain and a soul, quite honestly. Now, my personal efforts here in South Carolina to end funding of abortion and abortion providers and to ban abortion itself in South Carolina. Those efforts are, and I am a Protestant Christian, and those efforts are being led by Protestant Christians. And, you know, I'm not going to be reaching out to or trying to build a leadership team on this issue that moves outside of Protestant Christians, because I do believe that, you know, judgment must begin in the house of God, and it is quite honestly, the Protestant circles that I have run in that have quite honestly just been content to check off the box and do the bare minimum, if that. So, you know, we've got to do more. I think that, you know, if it doesn't start with the church, if the church isn't willing to step up, church isn't willing to, we're not willing to cleanse our hands and purify our hearts from being double-minded, as James said, then, you know, I don't know who will. It has to start with us. Now, that said, if Catholics want to work alongside, or if they want to come to the rally, or atheists, or Mormons, or anyone, you know, that believes that a person, an unborn human child, is a person that deserves equal justice, they are welcome. I don't care who you are. I will work alongside of you, and I will be grateful for your contributions. But, you know, that said, I think that it is high time for those who fear God, those who are Protestant Christians, to step up the plate.
Amen. And I think a lot of it has to do with being as cunning as serpents and gentle as doves. We have to use wisdom and discretion. Just like at the workplace, it would be inappropriate during certain hours and activities while you are being paid to do a job to be evangelizing people. But at the same time, you can, during your private life and during a lunch break or a snack break, while you're developing friendships and so on, evangelize people, as we are all, as we are all called to declare the gospel to anyone who we providentially encounter.
Well, and anytime we talk about something that's right or wrong, there's always that nagging little question, especially these days in our society, of how do you know? And by whose authority?
Yeah. Well, we have to go to our midway break right now, which is the longer than normal break. So please be patient with us. Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because they have to localize geographically Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and all of their programming to Lake City, Florida, or they will be penalized by the FCC. So please be patient with us and use this time wisely, this extended break in the middle of the show, by writing down as much of the information as you possibly can provided by advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to them. And hopefully, often, that will mean that you're purchasing their products, using their services, visiting their churches, supporting their parachurch organizations. But when you cannot do any of those things, please, at the very least, respond to our advertisers by thanking them for sponsoring this show. If indeed you love the show and you don't want it to disappear, because keep in mind, we absolutely positively depend upon our advertisers to exist. As much as we love and appreciate and are grateful for all the donations we receive, we don't receive nearly enough to keep this program going. We depend upon our advertisers. So please respond to as many of them as you can. And also, obviously, use this time to write down questions for our guest today, Jonathan Hill, South Carolina State Representative, about the Abolish Abortion Rally at the South Carolina State House next week, and also about abortion in general. Our email address, again, is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We'll be right back after these messages, so don't go away.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. You, I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333, or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, never forget that solid-ground-books.com is a premier, a primary, a vital sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Without their continued advertising and the funding that comes with it, we would likely not remain on the air, barring a financial miracle of God, of course. So please visit solid-ground-books.com frequently and purchase generously from them. And when you're purchasing gifts for loved ones, remember not only to purchase gifts for your brothers and sisters in Christ who already know the gospel, as important as that is to edify those who are already Christians, but please don't forget your lost family members, friends, and loved ones. Very often throughout history, our Sovereign Lord has used a biblically based, theologically sound book to draw a lost person to Christ. So keep your lost friends, family members, and loved ones on your gift list when you go to solid-ground-books.com. And remember, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor when you purchase books from them. And you're not only going to be doing us a favor by keeping one of our very important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor, an incalculable favor, because they publish and bring back into the print, bring back into print nothing but the finest in Christian literature from the past and even the present. They have published books by even contemporary authors like Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So please visit solid-ground-books.com often and purchase generously, always mentioning that you heard about them from Chris Arnson and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I want to thank all of you who have been doing that, who have been visiting that website frequently and purchasing generously, and who have been letting the founder, Mike Gaidosh, know that you heard about solid-ground-books.com from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That means the world to us, and your business means the world to Mike Gaidosh, the founder of solid-ground-books.com. Before we return to our guest today, and if you just tuned in, our guest today is South Carolina State Representative Jonathan Hill. We are addressing the Abolish Abortion Rally at the South Carolina State House next week, and we're discussing abortion in general. Before we return to that conversation, I have just a few very important announcements to make. First of all, please mark your calendars for this Friday. We have Dr. Conrad Mbewe returning to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as a guest. Dr. Mbewe has been a dear friend of mine since 1995. He is the pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, Africa. He's also on the faculty of the African Christian University. He is one of the most profound and powerful Reformed Baptist voices on the planet Earth. And he happens to be also a colleague at African Christian University and the pastor of Vodi Balcom. So please mark your calendars to tune in to the program this Friday. Tune in every day, of course. We've always got excellent guests and themes. But since it's been a while since we've had Dr. Mbewe on, make a special note of that on your calendar. Also, speaking of Vodi Balcom, you've been hearing his name come up in our advertisements for the G3 conference, which I will be attending, and where I will be manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for the fourth year in a row. This will be September 30th through October 2nd in Atlanta, Georgia. Well, you've been hearing Vodi Balcom's name as one of the speakers on the roster. That may no longer be the case, and I emphasize the word may no longer be the case, because if you haven't heard, Dr. Balcom, or Vodi Balcom, has had some serious health setbacks. He just very recently had quadruple bypass surgery, and he is recovering with his family right now. I believe he may still be in Jacksonville, Florida, recovering before returning to Zambia. So it is still up in the air. Please pray for his full recovery, his restoration to full strength, health, and vitality, not only so that he can remain on the roster at the G3 conference this fall, but obviously, infinitely more importantly, that his family would be spared the loss of their precious loved one, Vodi, and the Church of Jesus Christ would be spared the loss of such a powerful member and blessing to the body of Christ here on the planet Earth. We don't want Vodi to be taken away from us too soon at this young, ripe age, and I just cannot say enough words of praise about this dear brother. So please pray for Vodi Balcom. Also, folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail using the United States Postal Service, well, a physical address will appear on your screen as well when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, if you would like to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with what we believe, you don't have to believe exactly as I do, but you need to be promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what I believe, then please feel free to send in an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. We are in urgent need of your advertising dollars as well, so we would love to help you launch an ad campaign quickly, if at all possible. Remember, folks, I don't want my listeners siphoning money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to to your own local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, don't punish your own church financially by blessing us financially. Never do that. Also, if you are really struggling to survive, please don't put your family in serious financial jeopardy or peril by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture, providing for your church and providing for your family. Providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of God in Scripture. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, and you love this show, and you don't want it to disappear, please use that extra money that may be collecting interest in the bank, that you use for recreational purposes, that you use for trivial purposes. Use some of that money to bless us, if indeed you have it. We have been hit really hard financially due to the hysteria associated with the coronavirus pandemic, because people's businesses have been either shut down or their income has been radically reduced because of this hysteria and because of mandates and all kinds of things that have actually reached the point of insanity. And as a result, these people who have been hurt financially are giving less or not giving at all anymore. Well, please help us replenish that which was lost, if you can. If you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to support your church and family, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, I have lists, extensive lists, spanning the globe of theologically sound, biblically faithful churches, and I have already helped many people in our audience or in all parts of the planet Earth find churches, sometimes right around the corner from their own houses. I may be able to help you in the same way if you are indeed without a church home, at least without a church home that's biblically faithful. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. I may be able to help you. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. I need a church in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question to South Carolina State Representative Jonathan Hill on the abortion or abolish abortion rally at the South Carolina State House. And your questions obviously can be on abortion in general or even politics in general from a Christian viewpoint. Our email address again is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. We have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who has a question for you. Bobby asks, are you familiar with the wonderful work that Pastor Jeff Durbin and the Apologia Church of Phoenix, Arizona are doing to rescue the lives of unborn children?
You know, I am, and it has been influential to me, and I'm actually very excited to let your listeners know that Pastor Jeff is actually going to be joining us for our rally on May 4th
wow.
at the State House, so we're very excited about that.
Praise God. Jeff is a dear friend, and he's been a guest on this program, and what a tireless, zealous, unwaveringly committed brother he is to rescuing the life of the unborn, and I could tell by everything you've said today that he is on the same exact page as you are in your niche in the movement to abolish abortion and politically as well. So we are grateful for him and the Apologia Church and for their documentaries, largely due to Marcus Pittman, who was a member there, is now a member of Christ Church in Moscow, Idaho. Marcus Pittman, babies are murdered here. So we want to thank them. And thank you, Bobby, for the question. We have John in Bangor, Maine, who wants to know, another way that there is a division amongst those who claim to be pro-life is the view on how women who have their babies murdered should be treated legally. There are some who believe that there should be no penalty legally for a woman who commits such a crime, and there are others who believe that she should be treated just like every other murderer, according to the circumstances, of course. What is your view on this?
Well, we would be remiss to discuss this issue without, you know, without addressing that. I would say that when it comes to making our laws, I think we have to start from the point of what does God's righteousness require. I don't think that, you know, we can claim to be enacting just law if our laws, you know, call something that is evil, that God calls evil, and we call it acceptable. We call it women's health, for instance, or women's choice, or privacy. And so, you know, we have to start from that point. Now, does that mean that every single person who ever commits any kind of crime should and must be prosecuted to the fullest extent? In other words, should they receive justice? Is there a place for mercy? And I would, and clearly Scripture teaches that there is a place for mercy, and God has provided for that for all of us. First and foremost, through the gospel, through His Son, who took that penalty for us. And likewise, Jesus set the precedent that when you know, the religious and government rulers of the day dragged a woman to him who allegedly was caught in adultery, and Jesus famously said, whoever is here without sin, let him cast the first stone. And he bent down and began writing in the sand. And some people think that maybe he bent down, stooped down, and started writing the Ten Commandments, or something like that. But God's law convicts every single one of us. Not one of us is innocent, can claim to be innocent. We may not have aborted our children, but we have, in some way, violated God's law. And I think that we, you know, when it comes to dealing with other people, we have to keep that in view as well. But we cannot say that what God calls evil is good and think that our laws are just, righteous, or even merciful. It has to start with saying this is what the penalty is for doing something that is evil. And abortion clearly is. So, I don't know if that fully answers the question, but,
sure.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that even liberals, most of the time, at least those that have a voice you hear in the media, and even aggressive pro-abortionists, have typically been extremely opposed, and I know it's illogical, it's really hypocritical, but they have been extremely opposed to hearing the stories of young women giving birth in a bathroom or something, putting the baby in a shoebox and throwing it in a dumpster. Even those that are pro-abortion have been typically opposed to that. Now, they really have no logical reason for that, in my opinion. But I think that if we as a society rightly prosecute a young woman for doing that, obviously there should be no difference if she is having an abortion.
Well, and our laws have to, you know, have to reflect a moral and just standard. I mean, they really do. If we don't, then we're using, by force of law, we're committing injustice. Chris, if somebody does you wrong and the law says, well, they didn't actually do you wrong, actually the person who did that to you is a victim, that wouldn't be merciful to that person that did the thing to you. It would actually be committing an injustice upon you. And that's exactly what failure to provide equal justice for the unborn does. And so, you know, first and foremost, I think the question actually takes the focus off of where the focus needs to be, and that is that, I'm sorry, I don't know what the circumstances are, or regardless what the circumstances are, you aren't allowed to kill another human being without consequence. Now, that said, you know, when it comes to, you know, the laws on murder and the way the criminal justice system works, our founding fathers gave us a system that, if it's going to err, should err on the side of failing to prosecute someone who is guilty rather than prosecuting someone who is not guilty.
Right.
In other words, it errs on the side of assuming innocence. We have a system that assumes that you are innocent and you must prove that the person is guilty beyond all reasonable doubt. And in South Carolina, our murder statutes are quite stringent, actually. We are a death penalty state, although we do have a de facto moratorium on death penalties and executions in place right now, as do some other states, because we allow a person to choose their own execution method, and South Carolina currently allows two execution methods. One is by lethal injection, and one is by electric chair. And so, naturally, most people would choose the lethal injection method, but we have no lethal injections and cannot get any because no one will sell the state of South Carolina the drugs required to do that. And that's true nationwide. South Carolina is not unique in that regard. So, and that's actually an issue that's currently being debated and discussed in the State House and Senate. I think there's a conversation to be had as to what is the right way to prosecute. You know, what are the level of evidence and proof that's required? Does our current justice system, actually meet the due process standards that the Bible would teach are appropriate? Are we wrongfully convicting people and executing them? There are many questions that need to be asked around all of that. And it may surprise you or some of your listeners that where I'm at on that right now is that I believe that we have far too high rate of error on wrongful convictions of capital crimes for us to be executing the death penalty. So, you know, if anyone wants to go out and say, well, Representative Hill wants to execute mothers who get abortions, that is flat out untrue. In fact, I don't want to execute anyone for any crime because I don't trust our government to actually get it right 100% of the time.
In fact, when I see the rise of leftist tyranny, the death penalty is actually making me nervous because of the fact that who knows where the left will bring this country in the areas of
that's
tyranny.
Right, yeah. And more now than ever, there are so many ways for a person to get on the wrong side of the law. And, you know, and again, while we should, and a Christian, you know, involved in politics has a mandate to try to ensure that our laws reflect the justice and righteousness of God, frequently they do not. Frequently things are illegal that should be legal, and some things are, and vice versa. So, you know, there are many, and sometimes the law is even contradictory, so no matter what you do, you're a criminal in the eyes of the state. If they want to prosecute you, they can. So you're right, that's tyrannical. And our founding fathers tried to give us a system that would protect us from that, and sometimes it does a good job, but, you know, ultimately it's going to come down to, you know, we the people engaging in the process and using the tools that we were given.
And obviously, in such circumstances, the women, maybe not women at all, but maybe young girls who have been coerced or forced by their parents,
right,
to have the baby.
In South Carolina, our murder statutes lay out a series of aggravating factors and mitigating factors. And of course, there are mitigating factors listed out that a judge is required and a jury is required to consider. Including, the circumstances of how this happened. Was the person being coerced? Were they in their right mind? You know, and various things like that. And conversely, you know, I think it's significant for us to note that one of the aggravating factors that, you know, would tend to bias a judge and a jury, towards a stricter and more severe penalty, in a murder trial is, was the victim under the age of 11? In other words, our murder statutes are set up in such a way to consider killing a child as being a more heinous crime than killing an adult. And yet, when it comes to killing the unborn, we don't even call that murder.
We have an anonymous listener who says, this is obviously a response to our whole discussion on co-belligerence early when we work in the pro-life or the anti-abortion or the abolish abortion movement with those of other religions. This anonymous listener says, as explained in the resolution passed by the American Council of Christian Churches, co-belligerence with followers of false religions such as Roman Catholicism is unbiblical. Please consider reading on air the concluding two sentences of this resolution. We desire righteousness in our land, but the ecumenical compromise which the doctrine of co-belligerence requires ultimately undermines that righteousness by erasing fundamental doctrinal distinctives between believers and unbelievers. By God's grace, we determine to continue to have no part in that compromise. I have a lot of heartfelt agreement with that sentiment, but at the same time, I think things need to be defined, because is it co-belligerence to even vote for a non-Christian who happens to be in agreement with all of your political views, that a person running for office or in political power has actually a role in either preserving or bringing about? Like, for instance, if there was a consistently conservative Roman Catholic running for office who agreed with me on scriptural matters even more than an evangelical running for office, I would vote for the Roman Catholic. But if you could respond to what our guest has presented here.
Yeah, I mean, you and I are on the same page with that. I think the other thing that comes to mind on this question is, you know, besides how far do you take that, you know, can you really be held responsible for the actions of another person? If you're out there fighting to end abortion and someone else comes up and begins working in concert and in the same direction as you, alongside, as it were, you know, are you to therefore required to stop fighting to end abortion and to leave the arena altogether because this other person or entity showed up? And I think that, you know, it would be absurd to conclude that. So, you know, that's certainly not how I feel. You know, once again, I draw a distinction between, you know, building a leadership team and a leadership structure and you know, causing myself to be unequally yoked with other people that have beliefs that are incompatible with mine, and versus having a, you know, more loose situation where, you know, you're out there doing stuff and someone else wants to attend your rally or to, you know, do some of the same things as you or do something that's compatible with what you're doing. You know, number one, you can't control that. Number two, you aren't responsible for that. And number three, you aren't necessarily even asking for or inviting that. So that's simply where I'm at. Now, all that said, I caveat everything that I've said with, you know, I certainly am not a pastor, and when it comes to what churches do and pastors who are responsible for those churches, they have to consider these questions and you know, do the best that they can with based on their understanding of what Scripture requires. So, but that's where I'm at personally.
Yeah, I happen to have a very high regard for the American Council of Christian Churches. I've been to at least one of their conferences, and a local congregation here in Carlisle, about 10 minutes from where I'm sitting, Faith Chapel in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, is a part of that organization. But it doesn't mean that I absolutely 100% agree with every conclusion or decision that they make. They are a bit more fundamentalist than I am. And more separatist, but at the same time, I applaud much of what they're doing. But interestingly enough, they are also ecumenical, not with those that deny the gospel, but there are both Reformed and Arminian churches and pastors who are members of that organization. So,
well, that's a very interesting thing to note, and I guess you know. I guess we're none of us are perfect, are we?
Well, being a Reformed Baptist myself, that was one of the hallmarks of what we believe, that none of us are perfect. It's called total depravity.
I don't know about you, Chris. I'm a 4-point Calvinist. I believe I'm basically a good person.
I'm assuming that's sarcasm. But,
of course.
Thank you, Anonymous. And if you are a first-time questioner, by the way, you have won a free New American Standard Bible, which we give away to first-time questioners as a matter of practice on this program, although I'm not 100% sure if the American Council of Christian Churches is King James only or not. But we would love to send you that New American Standard Bible if indeed you are a first-time questioner and if indeed you would like one. Thanks to our friends who publish the NASB who are faithful supporters of this program financially. We have another listener, BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who wants to know, is your organization involved with actually helping mothers take care of the babies that they give birth to after being convinced not to have an abortion? Are your members of your organization involved in actually adopting these children on occasion? And there is often an accusation by the left that we do not care about babies after they're born, and I know that that is just slanderous rhetoric, but I was just wondering what you and your colleagues and constituents believe is the appropriate action to be taking when babies are born and the mothers giving birth cannot take care of them.
Right. Well, it's a surprisingly complicated issue. I certainly do have an intense desire to, provide anything within my power to, care for a person who is in need, born or unborn. As God gives me opportunity and ability to do so, that's what my wife and I do. Without going too personal and too in detail on that, let me just, start from that point and go on. I think that, what this question often becomes a proxy for is, if you're truly pro-life, then you would actually, agree with us that we should, expand Medicaid and remove all exceptions and basically, open up taxpayer-funded government health benefits for everyone, or fill in the blank whatever entitlement program that the person happens to be advocating for, free college for all, any number of very leftist policy positions. And I think that's a false dichotomy that you're either pro-life or if you're pro-life that you would therefore have to be for those policies, because that assumes that the government is the best provider of those services and the proper provider of those services. And of course, as a conservative, I disagree with both premises. So I think that we have to be careful there. And finally, I'm extremely supportive of anyone that would provide foster care services or adoption and things like that. However, I have to be careful and somewhat wary when it comes to that. For one thing, I've seen far too many instances in dealing with constituents and people here in South Carolina, and I know this is happening in many other states as well. Texas is one of note, but there are many kids that end up in the foster care system that have no business being there. They're removed by the state from loving qualified parents, and sometimes placed at risk just by being in the system to start with. Second, there are a lot of predatory attorneys out there that would, desire to set you up with some supposedly needy child that needs to be adopted, while the state then goes and terminates the rights of a qualified and loving parent who wants to be part of their child's life. And so I think that, you know, while on the one hand I certainly applaud and welcome anyone that feels called to adopt or foster, I also know that the system does not, in fact, work very well and is the perpetrator itself of a great deal of injustice, which distresses me very much. And, that's a larger conversation, which is probably beyond the scope of this podcast, but just be aware there are a lot of issues in our justice system in South Carolina and probably in whatever state your listeners are in, because it's a widespread issue.
You're talking about regarding adoption laws and things like that?
Not the laws themselves per se, but rather how the state agencies sever the parental rights of people that shouldn't have their parental rights severed. I know of one young man here in South Carolina who, he and his girlfriend got pregnant out of wedlock. He wanted to get married. She chose not to. He told her that he wanted to be part of his daughter's life. She said, okay. And then she goes without his knowledge or, and against his consent, puts the child up for adoption. And next thing you know, the kid's been adopted out by a couple, clear across the country. And, this poor, single dad fights tooth and nail and against all odds manages to, regain custody of his daughter and has been a very good and loving father to his daughter. So, you know, that's one instance, but there are many instances like that where things like that are happening. So I think that, you know, we can't just assume that the institutions of the state are working the way they're supposed to, and we can't, and as a result, we can't, you know, pigeonhole someone that, well, you know, if you're not adopting 10 kids or 20 or 50 kids, then you can't really, you're not actually pro-life because there are all these needy kids out there. You know, it's much more complicated than that. I just wanted to bring that up.
Sure. In fact, we can very excitedly talk about at least one instance involving our mutual friend Jeff Durbin, who adopted a baby that was rescued from... I can't remember now if the baby was actually rescued from an abortion or the mother who was pregnant and knew she could not care for the baby just heard about the ministry of Apologia Church. But either way, the baby that Jeff and his wife adopted had spina bifida, stage 4 spina bifida. And when the baby was being delivered, and Jeff was in the hospital, waiting to be able to take this baby home with his wife, the baby, which is now named Augustine, the doctors were in utter amazement when the baby was born, when the baby came out of the womb. There was no sign at all of spina bifida. They were absolutely certain, the doctors, that the baby had spina bifida, and the sonograms and so forth had proven this. And miraculously, it seems, this baby was born completely normal and healthy and is now being raised in the home of Jeff and Candy Durbin. So if anybody wants to find out...
Praise God for that.
Yeah, if anybody wants to find out more about that whole story, go to apologiachurch.com, apologiachurch.com. That's APOLOGIA church.com. We're going to our final break right now. It's going to be a lot more brief than the other breaks. If you have a question, please send it in immediately before we run out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Vody Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnson and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all. Fellowshipping with the
family. Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti
so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Welcome back, and we are talking about the Abolish Abortion Rally at the South Carolina State House next week with South Carolina State Representative Jonathan Hill. And Jonathan, the last questioner, I believe, presumed or assumed that you are part of an organization. I know that you are the South Carolina State Representative, but is there actually an organization that you are a member of that's involved in the rally?
So this is a joint effort between myself and a local pastor in Rock Hill, South Carolina, and some of the people associated with Jeff Durbin. So Action for Life, which is a Red State Reform project, which is you know, working in concert with Apologia, and you know, so this is hosted officially by Action for Life and myself, and all that's disclosed on abolishabortionsc.com. If anyone wants to check out Action for Life, you can go to takeactionforlife.org and see them. And of course, everyone's familiar with endabortionnow.com, which is Jeff Durbin's organization. That's who's officially hosting this rally. Now, my goal is for this rally to be a starting point for us to identify as many people that believe like us in South Carolina that will work with us to, you know, help us do this. I'm, you know, under no delusions that, you know, one rally is going to get the job done. This is going to be an effort that is, quite frankly, going to probably require years of work, years of hard work. And so I am hoping to start a new organization within South Carolina dedicated to this, but, you know, we're not at that point yet. So this particular rally is a partnership between Action for Life and myself, and we're being helped along by several others, Jeff Durbin, some local pastors, and so forth.
If you could repeat all of the details that our listeners need to know, especially those within driving distance to South Carolina or who already live there, let our listeners know.
Absolutely. If you're interested in helping us here in South Carolina and attending our rally, that's going to be on Tuesday, May 4th at 10 a.m. to noon. And it's going to be at the South Carolina Capitol in Columbia at the State House. And for all the details and to RSVP, you can go to abolishabortionsc.com. That's abolishabortionsc.com. We really hope that you will RSVP in advance. We're planning on doing this inside the State House. We have the entire first floor of the State House reserved for our event. But that has a capacity limit of 400, and I would just be thrilled to have to move this thing outside, which we are prepared to do if we get more than 400 people there. So, you know, help us out, RSVP, and let us know if you're coming. And also, please help us spread the word. People are going to come. They're much more likely to come if a friend invites them, someone they know and trust. So we're really relying on word of mouth here and asking that people get in touch with the people at their churches and help us spread the word. And there are materials on abolishabortionsc.com. There's a flyer. We have an announcement graphic that can be put in your announcement rotations or printed out and inserted into the bulletin and so forth. So there are various resources on there that you can use to spread the word, but at a minimum, please go there, RSVP, share it with your friends.
Yes, I actually have been obviously misspeaking. I've been saying next week, but it's Tuesday, May 4th.
It is Tuesday, May 4th, yes.
Yes, I apologize for that error. Tuesday, May 4th, folks. Sorry for the constant repetition of this event being held next week. And go to abolishabortionsc for SouthCarolina.com, abolishabortionsc.com. We have time for at least one more question from a listener. We have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, who asks, I don't know whether or not you are post-millennial, but many people seem very pessimistic about this country ever turning to the place where they believe as a whole that abortion is murder and therefore that it will be outlawed in most or all states. What is your view and what is your level of optimism?
Well, I think that my level of optimism is possibly somewhat irrational, but I do feel more and more optimistic as time goes on, strangely enough. I think one thing that I'm seeing is that up and coming generations are some of the most pro-life demographics that this country has seen in a long, long time. That gives me some hope. Furthermore, I have just been astounded and thrilled to see the amount of energy in South Carolina that evidently no one had tapped until now on the matter of abolishing abortion. There turns out there are a lot of people really interested in that and want to help. A number of people have, you know, stepped up to the plate, identified themselves, reached out, people that I'm continually meeting new people every single week, it seems, that want to help out. So I'm thrilled for that. I guess ultimately we're free to be optimistic if our end goal is the proper end goal. And what is that proper end goal? The proper end goal is to simply glorify God.
Amen.
That's why we're doing anything.
Amen. We're out of time, brother, and I want to repeat your website. It is abolishabortionsc.com. Abolishabortionsc.com. Thank you so much for being such a superb guest. Thank everybody who listened today, and especially those who took the time to write in questions. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you, brother.